Our speaker tonight is our brother Paul Ensel, and he's going to speak to us on the subject, Consider Her Ways and Be Wise. And he's asked that, as an introductory reading, we take Proverbs 31, verses 10 to the end. And Brother Martin Bennett is going to lead us in that reading.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 31, beginning to read at verse 10 to the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Thank you for that reading. And ask for your attention as our brother speaks to us on the subject, Consider Her Ways and Be Wise.
My beloved brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, come with me please to Proverbs chapter 6. You know, out of all of Yahweh's wonderful creations, why on earth did Solomon ask us to consider the small and tiny and insignificant ant? At that time, before the introduction of reading glasses, possibly half the population couldn't even see ants, let alone consider their ways. What's so special about the ant that it deserves so much of our attention? Proverbs 6, and beginning at verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. First of all, what is a sluggard? This is the character that Solomon is addressing in particular here. This is the one that needs this special advice. A sluggard is one who is obviously sluggish and lazy, and in a few places it's been translated as slothful. It's like comparing the actions of a slug with an ant, totally different. And the main activity of the sluggard, verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, the expression folding of the hands there suggests suppressing our power, the hand denoting our strength or power. Ants don't have hands that they can fold. In fact, if you see an ant lying on its back or on its side, it won't be asleep, it will probably be dead. It seems that they don't sleep in the sense that we do. They always seem to be in a state of readiness for defence of their colony. For example, if you approach an ant nest and stamp your feet, the whole colony will immediately erupt into a state of frenzied activity for defence. Come with me, please, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 6. Now, remember, on the night of the Passover, the children of Israel were told to be ready for deliverance. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. In this case, it was a readiness for flight, not for defence. Yahweh provided that for them, didn't he? Now, Ephesians chapter 6 is a passage that is bristling with advice on how we face the enemy and defend our colony or our ecclesia against attack. But notice the important positions that we have to be in. Not sitting or lying down with folded hands. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Active life in the ecclesia, brethren and sisters, is the only true life. Anything less is a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, that will lead to hunger and ultimately starvation. Now, while we're here considering the armour of the soldier of Christ and what it should accomplish, like all insects, the outside of an ant's body is covered with a hard armour called the exoskeleton, protecting the soft and tender and vulnerable parts within. Let's think about this. We know that here that Paul had in mind attack from those enemies of the truth without. But what about attack from within? How should we react to criticism, perhaps, from within, from fellow members? Over a page or two, Philippians chapter 1. Now, we know that Paul was often at the receiving end of some strong, often hurtful, unjustified criticism from his brethren. It's important to see how he reacted in this situation and what sort of defence he had to put up. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel." So was Paul affected by the way that they preached, involving envy and strife with him? Verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." It didn't matter one bit to him. A similar idea is expressed by Paul in his letter to the Romans and chapter 15. You see, brethren and sisters, we have to develop a hard shell for defence against criticism from our fellow workers. We have to try and avoid being oversensitive and perhaps touchy. But on the other hand, we have to be soft and sensitive to the feelings and the needs of others. Combining the two will lead to a happier and a healthier colony. Romans 15 and verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. What's Paul saying here? Another translation renders it like this. We who are strong have a duty to put up with the qualms of the weak without thinking of ourselves. Each of us should think of his neighbours and help them to become stronger. Christ did not think of himself. The words of Scripture, the insults of those who insult you fall on me. That's taken from the Jerusalem Bible. Now, a few facts about ants that may help us understand why Solomon in his wisdom, or rather Yahweh's wisdom, asks us to consider them so that we might be wise. Notice that he says, consider her ways, not his ways or its ways. Why her ways? The Hebrew word for ant, nemalah, is feminine. But rather surprisingly, most ants in a colony are, in fact, sterile females. There are the fertile females, whose sole aim in life is to lay eggs, and there are the fertile males. But the majority of others, the workers are sterile females, whose whole aim in life is to look for food and look after the young and defend the colony from unwanted visitors and keep their home clean and tidy. So Solomon says, consider her ways. Let's go to Proverbs 31, that part of that chapter which we read together as an introduction. Now, the ecclesial bride in her preparation for her groom has much responsibility in working while she patiently waits. This familiar passage shows clearly what's expected of this special female. Proverbs 31, beginning of verse 10, let's read this verse again. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. Now, some ants will apparently travel several hundred yards in search of food and building materials. Verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. An ant apparently has two stomachs, one to digest food for herself, and another to store food to share with other ants and feed the young. This virtuous female, this promised bride of Christ, must have an overwhelming desire to initially feed herself and the young in her family, and make sure that none are deprived of spiritual food and go hungry. Verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Now, an ant cannot digest solid food. It has to work hard to squeeze it, its food, to extract the liquid. Then it can be digested to be of any benefit to it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Because ants cannot digest the cellulose in leaves, the leafcutter ants, for example, are specialized farmers. They cut and they carry sections of leaves to their nest, where they chew them into a pulp on which a special type of fungus will grow. This they can digest. Provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. Now, if we could run as fast for our size as an ant can, we could run as fast as a racehorse. What's that, 25, 30 miles an hour? An ant can lift 20 times its own body weight. So we could carry a horse while running as fast as a horse. There's a comparison. Incredible strength. Consider her ways. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the Lord of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. An ant's brain has about 250,000 brain cells. A human brain, we have around 10,000 million. So a colony of, say, 40,000 ants has collectively the same size brain as a human. Consider her ways. Thankfully, they don't think and reason on the same levels that we do, else we might be in big trouble. Like many insects, ants have compound eyes made from numerous tiny lenses attached to each other. With some species, their eyesight is quite good, while others, such as those that live totally underground, it's very poor. But what's important is that they have good all-round vision to see what's in front and behind and above. What are our eyesight and vision like, brethren and sisters? We have to be able to look back at the past and learn from history, especially that recorded for us here in the Word. But perhaps more importantly, we have to look into the future, again through the Word, so that we know what we're preparing for. And the third dimension of our sight, we have to, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. With ants such as wood ants, which build large mounds of tree debris for their nests, at night apparently the workers move the eggs and the larvae deep inside the nest to protect them from the cold. During the daytime, they are moved near the top of the nest so that they can be warm and can benefit from the sun's warmth. How do we, brethren and sisters, provide what is best for our growing younger members? You see, they are looking for the love and the warmth of caring members who are intent on providing the best for their offspring. Can we honestly say that we are doing our utmost to fulfill their needs? The army ants of South America are nomadic. They have no continuing city. They carry their larvae and their eggs with them in a long column as many as 700,000 individuals. You see, no matter how secure and permanent things appear in this our mortal lives, we are still mortal. Security and permanency doesn't come without immortality. In other words, don't settle down and make ourselves too comfortable in this life. That's the lesson there, isn't it? All ants have two antennae on the front of their head. With these extremely sensitive organs, they are able to detect pheromones. In other words, they can smell. They can detect sound, and they can touch with them. This is how they communicate. So when an ant has found a good source of food, it leaves a scent trail, a pheromone trail, back to the nest for others to follow, endeavouring to find the shortest possible distance. So other workers follow the trail, reinforcing it on the way back to the nest with their own pheromone. The way that ants determine the shortest distance has in fact been studied by humans for some time. A computer program was developed some time ago based on the way ants accomplish this, and it's been applied to a haulage company in the US that delivered bottle gas nationwide. It was reckoned that thousands of dollars were saved in time and fuel, all through the study of ants. Consider her ways. Come with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Now, in Jeremiah's time, they were stubborn and rebellious against Yahweh's laws. From the least to the greatest, they refused to walk in his ways and follow his paths. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. This was their ultimatum from Yahweh, and it wasn't long before his promised punishments came upon them. And remember how David appeals to Yahweh's instruction in which direction to go when he says, thou shalt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16. And of course, with Christ at his right hand, we have there our greatest joy, haven't we? A little while ago, it was mentioned on the news that ants are being studied in the way they negotiate piles of debris. And apparently robots have been developed which can look for survivors of disasters such as floods or earthquakes or war in the ensuing chaos. Consider her ways. That's what they've learned from the lesson from. Ants will fight to the death in defence of their colony. There's a Malaysian ant that has developed large glands that store various chemicals that will immobilise small attacking insects. When threatened, they rupture these glands, disabling the attacker. But subsequently, they die themselves. A bit like a bee sting, isn't it? There's another ant in Brazil where a small group of the colony, each evening, leave the security of the nest, and the rest of the colony seal the entrance from within. They are prepared to risk their life in defence of their family. How far would we go in defence of our brethren and sisters? How far did our shepherd go in defence of his flock? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, many animals can learn behaviours by imitation, but ants are possibly the only group apart from mammals where interactive teaching has been seen. It's been observed that an experienced forager, will lead a rather naive nestmate, a young one, to newly discovered food by a process of tandem running. So the follower is obtaining knowledge through its leading tutor. The leader, being acutely sensitive to the progress of the follower, slows down when the follower lags behind and speeds up when the follower gets too close. Come with me, please, to Peter's first epistle and chapter 2. Now, in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, we are given a wonderful insight into what life will be like in the kingdom. The position and privileges of the undefiled virgins are described like this. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's in Revelation 14. But how do they get to this position? What's involved in this preparation? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Peter says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, when Peter was writing at this time, he would have had in mind how children were taught to write in school in those days. That word example there indicates in the Greek the way that the teacher would inscribe into the soft clay tablet. Apparently papyrus would have been far too expensive for schoolboys to practice on. He would write a sample for the scholar to copy, possibly a sentence equivalent with all the letters of the alphabet, equivalent to the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. Then the pupil would have to copy it. If he was finding it difficult, the teacher would carefully guide his hand following the shape of the letters. And that is what Christ has done for us, hasn't he? And is doing for us. He is our example to follow as we run for our lives in this path to the kingdom. How long does an ant live? Queen ants of some species have been known to live up to 30 years, and some workers 1 to 3 years. However, the average life expectancy of ants is around 45 to 60 days. It reminds us, doesn't it, of the labourers in the vineyard. There are those who labour for their 80 years or more, and there are those whose service is cut short for whatever untimely reason. But the pay, or the reward, or the gift, is still the same for all. You see, our lives are valuable, but we're not indispensable. Acts chapter 20. There are some species of ant that are able to mimic or copy the pheromone, the scent of other species. By doing this, they can easily invade other nests with little resistance and carry off eggs and pupae for food or to raise as slaves for themselves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the ecclesia of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." We might say that these are wolves in sheep's clothing, disguising themselves and able to carry off captive. In an ant colony, there is generally an overwhelming desire to help each other, especially when under threat from attack. If you've ever uncovered a nest that has been in the dark under a plank of wood or a metal sheet, you'll first notice that the first thing they do collectively is to take the eggs and the pupa below ground to safety. So within just a few minutes, hundreds of eggs will be out of sight. This working together and helping each other is vital to their survival. Now we need to go to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians and chapter 12. Ants will not sit around with folded hands and doze while others do all the work. Ants have an inbuilt intense desire to defend and to protect and to build. Paul saw the need for this in the early ecclesia, and we know that he had particularly in mind the spirit gifts, which are now no longer needed today, but the underlying principles are still there. Survival of the colony, the ecclesia, the body, is dependent on all the individuals cooperating in harmony together. Ants will rarely argue amongst themselves. They save that strength for enemies which invade their nest. They easily recognise who is friendly and who is foe by scent and touch. 1 Corinthians 12, I mean there's lots of examples here we look at. Let's begin at verse 25. He's been talking about the verse 24, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered them, joined them together, tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked. Why? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Ants have the ability to control or decide what is needed for the good and the survival of the colony. By adjusting the food and the attention given to the young, they can determine what they will develop into, whether more queens are needed or workers or such like. But with us, we know that that is in Yahweh's hands. Verse 28. "And God hath set some in the ecclesia, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongue. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But covet, long for, desire earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Without whatever their level of reasoning, they look to the future and carefully plan for the future. How do we compare with that, brothers and sisters? Come with me to Revelation chapter 7. There are between 10 and 12,000 known and classified species of ants. And it's estimated that there are up to 10,000 species not yet identified. A colony of ants may consist of up to 750,000 individuals. It's been estimated that the total biomass or weight of ants worldwide at any one time is approximately equal to the total weight of humans. Only Antarctica and a very few remote cold islands on this planet are not occupied by ants. Revelation chapter 7. We might say that they are as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the heavens, if they'll be able to number them. After taking account of the number of the sealed tribes of Israel, 144,000, John tells us what he sees. Revelation 7, and beginning at verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And John asks if he knows, and John is asked if he knows where all these have come from. Verse 14, And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Like the ant, brethren and sisters, we have to experience a life of servitude to others, often at the expense of hardship to ourselves. But you know, it will all be well worth it when we consider what life will be like in the kingdom, when everything is provided for us. Yahweh's glory is to fill this earth, being made visible in a vast number of immortals. These are the ones who will accomplish this, a company beyond the capacity of man to number, without number. Being sensitive to the needs of others and having a deep love and respect for them is an essential character that we have to develop. But an external armour and hard shell is also vital if we are to stand up to the attack from without, from the world, and those hurtful, unjustified comments from critics within. Solomon told us, remember, to consider her ways. You know, called to be the future bride of Christ, we carefully prepare for that glorious day. We have a responsibility to feed ourselves and others in the family. Extracting digestible food from the word to be shared with others takes time and effort, doesn't it? The young in particular need the milk, but with maturity, meat will be of more benefit. Even so, careful preparation is essential. Provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. There are times, brethren and sisters, aren't there, when we feel that we have the strength and the faith to move mountains. You know, we're not expected to move mountains, but we are expected to build anthills, so to speak, homes where the environment and the climate can be protected from the influence of the cold and the hostile world outside there. Brothers and sisters, we have the intelligence and the brain power and the wisdom far in excess of that of an ant. Our greatest advantage, brethren and sisters, is that we have the mind of Christ. In this we differ from the ant. They have no leader, no one to follow. Christ is our head. We are under his control. Come with me, please, to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians and chapter 2. What's our eyesight like, brethren and sisters? Have we all-round vision? You know, looking back at the past and learning from it can be good, but it's not to be dwelt on. It's the future that's important, isn't it? And this is where we have a tremendous advantage over the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. He's talking about the world outside. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. This is what we have in the Word, brethren and sisters. It's through the Spirit Word that we have a glimpse of the future and how it's revealed to us. We have no continuing city in this our wilderness journey. Even ants that build nests don't use them a second time. We cannot become too attached to this life. We have to be prepared to uproot and go when the call comes. Let's hope that our roots are not too deep. Ask for the old path where is a good way and walk therein. And sadly today, brethren and sisters, there is a growing trend to stray from these old familiar ways and follow paths of our own making. The clear, well-defined, well-trodden path is here for us in the Word, and we forsake it at our peril. Today, we are generally not expected to die for the upholding the truth and defending our brethren and sisters, but we are expected to live for them. The whole life, the ant's whole life was given to the care and the defence of her colony. Is that how we feel about our ecclesia? Some ants learn the best route to food by following others. And it's no different with us, is it? But be careful who you follow. Our only genuine and sincere teacher is the one detailed for us here in the Word. Stay close to this guiding hand and we won't go far wrong. No matter how long or how short our service is in the truth, in our Father's love and mercy, we will all receive the same reward. Our Master is absolutely fair in all his dealings with us. So let's make the most of our valuable time before it's too late. Now, Paul, as we saw, warned the early ecclesia about those who would enter in disguise and mislead. With the ants, the intruders would carry them away and make slaves of some. But you know, brethren and sisters, we are no longer slaves to sin, but servants of righteousness. Let us be on our extreme guard against those who would try to take us captive. It's difficult to say, you know, how much Solomon knew of the life history of the ant, but it's very clear after looking at her busy, hectic life that he realised that her main aim in life was to provide for the future. For our final reference, come with me please to Peter's first epistle and chapter 3. You know, when we see someone with folded hands or arms now, we may look at them in a very different way, especially if their eyes are closed. Seriously though, with folded hands and arms, our ability to help or provide for others is greatly restricted. The need to being awake and alert is paramount to the survival and the growth of our colony, our ecclesia. Remember Peter's advice here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The ecclesia needs individuals who stand up for what they believe. It has been recorded that when a colony of ants is under threat by a large insect such as a praying mantis, some of the ants will throw themselves into the jaws, forfeiting their lives, while others proceed to attack it from above. This is what our master has accomplished, hasn't he? Who not only stood up for what he believed, what he knew was right, but also laid down his life so that we might join with him and be part of that glorified multitude who no man could number. This is what we're working together towards as we assist in building and strengthening and encouraging our colony, our ecclesia, in preparation for that glorious day. Consider her ways and be wise.